Good morning, and today's reading is from John chapter 1, up from verses 1 to 18. And I'm reading this from the New King James Version, which could be different to that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are Lord of all. We thank you that you are a God who reveals yourself. God, we thank you for Jesus and the Bible, your written and human word, that we might know you and know the truth of who you are. And God, this morning, as we look closer at your word, the Bible, may you be speaking truth to us. Help us to know you. Help us to know Jesus. Help us to know what it means for our life. Amen. Well, who is Jesus and what does he mean for us? Now, these are questions that we're going to spend some time exploring as we look at the gospel according to John throughout this year. So if you've ever asked these questions and been wondering about them, then great. You're going to hear all about who Jesus is throughout our time in the Gospel of John. We're going to spend weeks upon weeks in this year going through chapter by chapter the Gospel of John. We're going to do it chapter by chapter, so one chapter each week. We're not going to look at every verse every week. So I'm encouraging you that as we look through the Gospel of John, read that chapter. Read ahead in it. So for next week, we're going to look at John chapter 2. I encourage you to read John 2 during the week. Have it marinating over you that as you come to church on Sunday, you might go, "Yeah, I'm expecting for God to speak through this word, this chapter to me." I'm going to encourage you as well this afternoon or during this week to read through the whole Gospel of John. It's 21 chapters. I did the maths. It's about an hour and a half, I think, if you listen to it on audio Bible. It's a bit quicker if you go at 1.5 or 2 speed. But spend some time getting the whole picture of who does John say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus for us? Because we want to spend this time digging deeper into who Jesus is and what he means for us. And we've subtitled this series, That You May Believe. This is about us understanding who Jesus is. And this is actually how John describes the reason he has written his gospel. And so in John 20, 30 to 31, which will be on the screen for us, he says this. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, the Gospel of John. But these, the things that I've written, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John has written this gospel so that we might know Jesus and that we might believe and have eternal life in him. John wants us to see the power of God in Jesus and for us to know that as well. And whether you've been a believer for a long time or whether you're not there yet and you're going, I'm just exploring. Or maybe you're not even exploring. Maybe you've been dragged kicking and screaming along to church today. Or if you're listening on online, this podcast has somehow come up in your feed and you're like, what am I listening to? My prayer is that wherever we are on the journey, that as we go through the Gospel of John, we might be witnessing Jesus and being encouraged to follow him as Lord and Savior. That whether we've been believers for a long time, I pray that as we look at the Gospel of John, we would be encouraged and saying, yes, this is who I am trusting in. I'm reminded of who Jesus is. This is the person I have put my hope and trust in. And may we reclaim some of the wonder of Jesus within this as well. And I pray for those of us who are just exploring the faith or not even there yet, that we might grasp as we go through the Gospel of John, this excitement about Jesus, this reality that he is someone different, that he is indeed the Messiah, this one who brings life to us. And for everyone in between, I pray that we would be continuing to grow deeper in our knowledge of and our personal relationship with Jesus. And so this is where we're going to be spending a big chunk of our year. And as we get into the Gospel of John, I think it's helpful for us to have some background information and some assumptions that we're making up front so that we're all on the same page with where we're at. So the first thing for us is this. Throughout our time in John, you're going to hear many ways that the Gospel of John is referred to. It might be referred to as the Gospel according to John, the Gospel of John, the Book of John, John's Gospel, or even just John. All of these are the one book. We're not talking about a bunch of different books here. It just goes by different names at different points. Sometimes it's easier to say this is the Gospel according to John, and sometimes it's easier just to say John says. And so we're all using this one book in this. And this isn't the Gospel about John. This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. And thinking about this is the gospel is actually good news. That's what the Greek word means, good news. We're proclaiming good news of Jesus. And this is according to John. Just like the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke in our Bible, are also the gospel about Jesus as told to us by Matthew or Mark or Luke. There are three other books that have John in their title in the New Testament, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. They are different books. They are letters written by John to churches to encourage them. They are not the Gospel of John. They are letters to that. So when we're talking about John and the Gospel of John, we are talking about this one book, John. Second assumption for us, information for us as we jump into John. We are assuming that the author of the Gospel of John is the Apostle John. Now, there are many scholars who have debated this over the years, far smarter, far wiser than me. And lots of them have actually come to this conclusion, that actually it is the Apostle John, or a key eyewitness of John, someone who was his disciple. And so for us, we're assuming that it is John. There's lots of, there's no internal evidence necessarily in the book other than it talks about the beloved disciple, not by name, but we assume that the beloved disciple is someone who is close to Jesus in his inner circle, one of the apostles. John is in the inner three of the 12 as well, and so he gets to see all the other things. So he is one of these key figures in this. But also, the main reason we go to John the Apostle as the writer for this is actually that the early church fathers attribute this gospel to him. And we're talking people writing in the 100 and early 100s and 200s AD. And they're saying this gospel is the gospel that John the Apostle has written for us. This is his words. Now, why does this assumption matter for us? Well, it matters for us because what it is saying is that what we have written here is someone who has journeyed with Jesus in his ministry. This is someone who saw what Jesus did up close. He wasn't far off. He hasn't just heard stories about it. This is someone who has witnessed it and is able to speak the truth around this. It also affects when the gospel could have been written. And so most scholars will say that actually it's between 70 to early to mid-90s that the Gospel of John is written. We don't know when exactly. We don't have this was written and published in the year 92 AD. But actually we know that it's close to the time of Jesus because it's by an eyewitness of Jesus. And so it's able to be verified as trustworthy because of this. Some of the reasons that people have argued against John, the apostle, is writing this is because John has been seen to be so different to the other Gospels. But actually, the third bit of information for us is that we can trust that what John says about Jesus in the Gospel of John is true and accurate. That if you look at the other Gospels compared to John, there's about 8% of crossover. And even some of that 8% seems remarkably different. And so for a long time, scholars then said, well, actually, we can't view the Gospel of John as accurate, historically accurate. And so they'd say, we can view the Gospel of John as John has written this to help us to understand theologically, that is the study of God, about how Jesus is God. But actually, in the last 100 and a bit years, we've seen things come to light that actually prove that John's gospel is historically accurate, that it is able to be treated as a historical and theological treatise, that we can trust what it says about who Jesus is and what he has done. And so this is something that helps us then to go, well, actually, we're thinking about who Jesus is. We're trusting in who John says Jesus is. And in terms of the differences, we don't necessarily have to look with skepticism at them and going, well, we can't trust John. No, actually, what we can do is say, yeah, John is presenting another way of viewing Jesus to us. That he might have been aware of the other synoptic gospels at this time. And he's saying, cool, they're presenting it this way. And each gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all have their own personal things that they're trying to get across. And so what John is saying is, we've already got these ones. I want to remind you of who Jesus is. And John's key focus, remember, is that we might believe in who Jesus is and that we might see him as Lord and Savior. And so he's saying to them, I want to show you who Jesus is by showing you the power and the might that Jesus has, and then by showing you how Jesus calls us to live in response to this. So these are three key things for us about the Gospel of John. That it's all one book, whether we're talking about the Gospel of John, Gospel according to John, John, John's Gospel, the book of John, all one book. That it's written by the Apostle John, this close follower of Jesus, and that the Gospel of John speaks the truth of who Jesus is and what he did. So with that in hand, let's jump into John chapter 1. And John starts off his gospel by proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is and who he has always been. Now, important to understand here is a little bit of context around gospels in the time of Jesus. See, when we think of gospels, we think of the Bible. But actually what the gospel of that time was it was pronouncing good news of the hope of the person coming in. that actually if you were around that time, you wouldn't have heard just Jesus' gospel, the gospel about Jesus. You would have heard the gospel about the Roman emperor of the time. They would have proclaimed, here is the good news about Caesar Augustus, about Emperor Nero. You would have been told about all the things that they had done and achieved, all the good they were bringing you. And they were inviting you into this. And so when the gospel writers are saying, we are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, this is a countercultural thing. It's an invitation to a different kingdom. That they're saying, we're inviting you to follow and live under a different king than under the emperor, than under the king, and under the governor of your area. We're saying we're choosing to belong to Jesus' kingdom. And this is true for us even today. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is an invitation into a different kingdom. See, our hope is not in our nation, our national leaders, our prime minister, our parliament, having the right party in government. Our hope is not in that. Because those things might be good and they might help things be good in our nation. But actually, our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus. We belong to Jesus' kingdom. And it's not just the kingdom of nations that this is an invitation into. This is an invitation into the countercultural kingdom as well. The kingdom of cool, which defines so much of society for people trying to fit in and belong and social status and achieving worth in that way. No, we're saying, no, I'm not trusting in the kingdom of cool. I'm trusting in the kingdom of Christ. Another kingdom that we see in our day is the kingdom of karma, that I will do good so that good will happen to me. And if I do bad, then bad things will happen as a result. Well, actually, what we're saying is, no, we're not trusting in the kingdom of karma. We're trusting in the kingdom of Jesus. And we're also not trusting in the kingdom of self-pleasure that says my worth is defined in how much I'm enjoying myself. And so a gospel is an invitation to a good news of a different kingdom. And so John starts off his gospel then by proclaiming, you are being invited to know the true king. And who is this true king? Well, this true king, Jesus, was there in the beginning. He was with God and he is God. He was with God in the beginning and through him all things are made. This is who we are trusting as our Lord and Savior, God. Not some emperor, not some kingdom that says our worth is defined in what we can do or achieve or what we have, but in Jesus. It is us looking to Jesus in the midst of everything, the good and the bad. And so John says, we want you to know who this is that you're trusting right from the beginning. And so we can look to Jesus knowing that he has always been and will always be God. His eternal God then has also come to dwell with his people. That we are told that in him is life and the light of all mankind. And this light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. Consider the mind-blowing nature of this for a moment. That God has come to be with his people. I mean, how often do we actually see important, powerful people lay aside their power to genuinely come and lower themselves to help others flourish? We're not talking in some undercover boss situation where it's like, I'll put aside for a moment and show you how good I am and then I'll reveal the mask under and oh, look, it's me and here's some wonderful things for you. No, this is God saying, I am coming to dwell with my people that I might set them free, that they might have life. This is who Jesus is. This is the God we are choosing to worship. This is the gospel of Jesus. That God chooses to lay aside his power, come in the form of a human, weak, frail, born as a baby in the mess of a stable, not in some crystal clean, pristine hospital. God comes knowing that he will be rejected by the very people he is coming to serve. Why? So that he might invite us into life and life in its fullest in him. So John says, this is the God we are worshiping. This is the King of our kingdom. The one who always was and always will be. Not some emperor who comes for a season, but God. And why did Jesus come for us? Jesus has come so that we might know God, that we might understand the truth of who he is, and that out of this we might then live in the fullness of life God has for us. We heard it in our reading that John writes, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, Jesus, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Jesus has come to reveal the truth of who God is to us and to invite us then into his kingdom as well. God is inviting us to know him. He's not some unknowable leader. But as we go through the Gospel of John, we are looking to see who is Jesus, who is the King that I am worshipping. John the Baptist also proclaims this truth about Jesus being the one who is revealing God and helping to know who God is. And so John the Baptist says this later on in John chapter 1. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Why? Because God wants to show Israel and the world beyond, here is who I am, here is life in you. And as we look to Jesus, even here in 21st century Melbourne, we can know God as well. We can see the truth of who God is and what that means for us in our life. And lastly for us today, as we think about the gospel of Jesus as John has given us in John chapter 1, Jesus is extending an invite for us to come and follow him. That as he says to Andrew later on in chapter 1, when Andrew asks, where are you staying? He says, come and you will see. That is Jesus' invitation to us as well. Come and you will see. Come, follow me, find out who I am. Jesus wants us to know him and to follow him. Why? Because he wants us to be a part of this kingdom that is far better than any kingdom of this world. Because this is the kingdom that has true hope and true life in it. That just like Andrew and Simon Peter and Philip and Nathaniel and the other disciples, we are called to come and follow Jesus, to know him, to sit with him, to witness his power and his might and his love and his grace. And he invites us to come and follow him. But this is not an invitation just for us. This is an invitation for us to share it beyond as well, to invite others into this kingdom. See, Andrew's first response when he finds out where Jesus is staying is actually to go and run and tell his brother Simon. Simon, we have found the Messiah. Come and find him. Come and be with him. Philip's response is to go and find his friend Nathaniel and say, Nathaniel, we've found this person that we've been waiting for. Come and see. And so who might we share this journey with as well? Who might we encourage to come and know Jesus? That as we're going on this journey, whether we've been on it for 100 years or whether we're just starting out going, I'm not even sure about this. Bring someone along. Come and follow this man. Come find out who Jesus is, what it means for us in this day. Because we are being invited into following Jesus. the place where there is hope and life and grace upon grace. And this is the man we're going to see, the Messiah, the Savior, as we go through the Gospel of John. So let me pray for us in this. God, we thank you that you are a God who has made yourself known and continues to make yourself known. God, we hear this invite of Jesus to come, follow him, to be a part of Christ's kingdom, to know the good news. And we have two responses to it. Either it's a response of intrigue and wonder and wanting to step into it, or it's a response of going, well, I'm happy with how my life is and I'm going to keep going as I am. And so, God, this morning we come to you and we lay down how we're feeling about it. And you might like now to just say to God quietly in your heart, God, I want to follow you. I want to know you. I want to be understanding more of who you are and what this means for me. I want to know you as Lord and Savior in my life. Because God, as we look to you, this is not just something from the first century. This is not just some person who lived then and we don't have to worry about it. But God, we want to know you as the one who is alive and at work. We want the Holy Spirit to be active in us. We want to walk with you. We want to be in your kingdom. And so, God, would you help us to know you? Would you help us to walk in your kingdom with you as King in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.